Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and before we get to today's action-packed show, I want to go back to something we did recently on Soundcheck. We do this occasional series called That Was a Hit. It's all about the strange and surprising songs that occasionally creep into the pop charts. And writer Chris Malanfi suggested that the whole career of trumpeter Herb Alpert was one big surprise, which is true. I mean, who'd expect a Jewish boy playing Latin-themed music on a trumpet to top the charts more times than any other band in the 60s, except the Beatles? And then he makes an unexpected return to the charts with Rise at the height of the disco era. So Chris told us that story, but our listener Ron from Detroit says we didn't tell the whole story.
Now, I was a little disappointed that the Herb Alpert story didn't follow through with other connections that song had made, especially the one with Rise, because there's a part in there where it drops out, where it just has a bass drop and a beat. And that was actually used in a Biggie Smalls tune. So I think a lot of younger people would recognize that. Maybe if they don't know the artist, and maybe some would, but there was still some connection to hip-hop that could have been made. And I'm wondering, too, is it Herb Alpert, A-L-P-E-R-T, or Herb Alpert? Because my parents, just like you said, had one of those albums, and I thought it was always Herb Alpert. But otherwise, great show, love the stories, keep doing what you're doing, but I just had to throw that in there because I recognize that has a place in hip-hop history as well. Thanks, guys. Take it easy.
All right, Ron, thanks for the call. And Herb Alpert's name is spelled with a P, so it should be Alpert, right? Though, I gotta say that when I was a kid, everyone said Herb Albert, as if it were a B. So we called his office just to be sure, and they confirmed it should properly be pronounced Alpert, which didn't stop us from mushing our consonants together. Okay, old business done. New business? Well, we've got the prolific garage rocker Ty Siegel joining us with a new album that has a surprisingly different sound. His band will play live. We've got a question from a listener who wants to know, where have all the virtuoso keyboard players gone? We'll try to come up with some answers. And we'll begin today with another in our occasional series, Pick Three.
Three, that's a magic number.
Three.
It's the magic number.
Picking three songs for us today is comedian Kurt Brownoler, whose debut album is also the first ever comedy record for the noted indie label Kill Rock Stars, home to bands like the Decemberists and Slater Kinney in the past, and now home to Kurt Brownoler. Welcome to Soundcheck.
Thanks for having me.
I mentioned the record label because you kind of like grew up on those bands
that
label, right?
Yeah, that was the reason that I kind of had approached them in the first place. I think Kill Rock Stars retweeted a tweet that I had done maybe like a year ago, and we got in conversation, and I was like, you're one of my favorite labels, and I said, you want to do a comedy record? And they're like, we've been thinking about it, and like that day,
we
got on the phone, and we're like, let's do it.
You know, there has been, I know you lived in Brooklyn for a long time, and you probably have seen this, the communities of indie rock and comedy.
Yeah.
Here have really come together. I mean, that Venn diagram has gotten really close together now.
Yeah, I mean, I just did my record release show in Brooklyn on Tuesday, and Ted Leo played.
Oh.
And so he's a good friend, and I love his music. And so, I think the kind of the confluence of music and comedy really started, you know, Steve Martin opened for Black Sabbath, you know?
With banjo, presumably.
Yeah, I don't even know if he was doing banjo then, but that's kind of amazing.
Yeah. So you picked three songs for us today, and the first of them actually is one of those Kill Rock Stars bands, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's Unwound. It's from... I believe it's from Repetition. It's called Corpse Pose. And this is one of my favorite Unwound songs. And I really, Unwound was kind of like one of my favorite bands coming up, and they're really the reason that I kind of fell in love with Kill Rock Stars and kind of just listened to everything they put out.
Mm-hmm. So this is, we're talking mid-90s here.
Yeah, mid-90s, kind of that Pacific Northwest, almost like, you know, post-punk, math-rocky kind of sound.
Okay, let's listen to a little bit. Corpse Pose is the title of the song from Unwound. From the mid-90s, the band Unwound with a song called Corpse Pose, picked for us by Kurt Braunohler, comedian, host of the podcast The K-Ole, and which you can find on Nerdist.com, and the co-creator and co-host of the variety show Hot Tub with Kristen Schaal, which used to be based here in New York, and now you're all out in L.A.
All out in L.A. L.A.'s claimed us.
Now, you talk about, like, growing up, hearing these bands and sort of, you know, getting into the sound. Did you, you know, as a teenager, pick up a guitar, or were you a musician?
I think I played every instrument.
You tried them all.
The piano, the saxophone, the guitar, and I'm just not good at playing music. But I think that that history with it kind of, I don't know, got me obsessed with music. And really, in college, that's all I wanted to do. That's the only thing I was interested in. I didn't start doing comedy until after college.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So did you play out? Did you try? Did you form school bands?
Yeah,
and stuff?
We had a band. We would play in the basement. We'd put on punk rock shows in the basement of our apartment in Baltimore.
What was the name of your band?
I think it was Como Safeway. But because of Safeway, so it was spelled Como Safeway. That was a bad band. I think I played drums.
That's a bad name.
It's a bad name, too. Oh, yeah. but we had, it was actually the whole thing, this was this organization we started called FUDC, which, because we hated DC and we loved Baltimore. And we started it because of an Unwound show. We were at an Unwound show, and I was dancing, and this guy was like, hey, man, you need to calm down. Because everybody, the DC scene, because of Ian MacKay, everybody stood with their arms crossed, you know?
Okay.
And
Ian MacKay from Minor Threat,
and
you know,
Fugazi.
The straight edge movement.
Yeah. And he just, you know, he had slam dancing. So DC was very uptight, and we kind of like celebrated Baltimore by having these shows in our basement and going crazy.
So you've moved around a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Brooklyn,
yeah, a little
Baltimore,
bit.
LA. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in New Jersey, Asbury Park in Neptune,
okay.
Right on the coast there.
And so now that you're on Kill Rock Stars, on this label with a lot of your musical heroes.
It still seems crazy to hear that said.
Yeah. The album's called How Do I Land?
Yes.
Can you tell us the story of that title?
Sure. I ran a Kickstarter. I wanted to skywrite like a dumb joke in the sky. And so we ran a Kickstarter and raised $6,000. And then we wrote In the Sky Over Los Angeles, How Do I Land? In clouds. We forced clouds to make a joke.
So when you say we, you weren't up in that plane with the skywriter,
No. I say we as the collective of everyone who donated money.
Okay.
Because we had kind of donations from all over the world.
You pay by the letter, right?
No, well, it's $4,000 to get 10 characters.
10 characters.
And if we could get $10,000, we could have gotten 5 planes that kind of like spell it out and looks like more.
Yeah.
But we had the old school, like, loop-de-loop, takes a long time. The letters disappear pretty fast. I realized that it's the most inefficient way to tell a joke.
Did you have to pay for the question mark?
No, they gave it to me for free,
and that
was a point of contention.
The album's called How Do I Land from Kurt Braunohler, who's my guest on Soundcheck. Let's hear a clip. This story is about one of the more humiliating moments in your life.
Oh, boy.
Where you meet Sacha Baron Cohen. Ali G, Borat, etc. Can you set this clip up for us?
Sure. I don't know exactly where it comes in, but basically I had an audition to be the assistant to Bruno in the Bruno movie. One of the requirements was that I could speak German, and I lied and I said I couldn't. I can't speak German at all.
And that's where we pick things up.
Sacha Baron Cohen, my comedy idol, looks at me and speaks to me in German, which to me sounds like a series of whistles and clicks. And I just look him dead in the eye, and I'm just like, Ein kleiner, wie heißen Swatten? Auf Orten Swatten? Wie heißen Wiedersehen? Auf Orten, the omelet. And then I make big old eye contact with a big eating smile to everybody in the room. Now I know nobody else in the room speaks German, so they don't know what just happened, but Sasha looks at me like a dog who just heard a whistle. He's confused, as he should be. Because from his perspective, a man just came in for the biggest job interview of his life, and when asked, tell me about your experience, that man went, blah, 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 and then smiled like a crazy person at everyone in the room.
That is Kurt Braunohler. The record is called How Do I Land? Braunohler, that's a good German name. You must know. So you knew enough German to kind of fake the German there.
I took German when I was 12 for a year, and I was just in love with my teacher. And all I would do is just stare at her all the whole class. And after a year, my mom was like, so what have you learned? And I was like, was ist das? She's like, that's it? What is that? That's all you've learned? She's like, I'm taking you out of this class.
Do you do a lot of improv?
I came up improvising. So I started improvising in 1998. And then I think I just was planning on making a living from improvising. So for 8 years, I tried to do that, and I realized I couldn't. And that's when I met Kristen, and we started doing Hot Tub and writing together.
Right.
And then shortly after that, I really started writing my own stand-up, which was probably about 5 or 6 years ago.
But the improv, that experience stands you in good stead when Sacha Baron Cohen talks to you in German and you have to come up with something.
Sure, yeah. It gets me in hot water.
But so basically, obviously the work with Kristen Schaal, the two of you are writing. Mm-hmm. When you're writing your own stand-up routine,
yeah.
How much leeway do you have? Is it like jazz where the same tune will sound different every night?
It is. When I'm writing it, it's very much a writing process. I'll write out a lot more than I'll actually use, and then I'll kind of bullet point it out, and then I'll perform it on stage. And so when I'm performing it for the first or second time, it's still very improv-y, but I know what I want to say, and I have a very... the rhythm has to be the right and the meter has to be correct. And so those are very specific things. And then after you've done it, a few times, it starts to lock in.
Yeah.
And then you definitely have, it's a script, but it sounds like it's not.
What you're talking about sounds like songwriting.
Yeah.
You're talking about meter and rhythm and pacing.
I think the two are very similar.
So this becomes especially important when you are working to time. For example, if you appear on a late-night TV show.
Yes.
Which you recently did on Conan. Now, do you aspire to be a late-night TV host yourself?
I do. I ran a late-night talk show in New York for a few years called Night of the Living. And haven't run it in L.A. yet. We're trying to kind of get all the pieces together. But, yeah, that is something I'm moving towards. And especially with my podcast, kind of like setting up systems that I can kind of expand upon for a visual medium as well.
Do you have any particular show in your crosshairs? Should Conan or Jimmy Fallon, should they feel the little red dot on the back of their neck?
Yeah, I'm going to come after Conan because I can just go right into his entire wardrobe. We're the same size.
What kind of music would you have on a show should you have your own late-night band to choose?
I think I would have sort of there's a group called Adira Amram and The Experience. She's a comedian who also plays keyboard and sings. That she would be my go-to group.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, for the moment, this is Kurt Braunohler on someone else's late night TV show. This is on Conan.
I recently just moved to LA, and so I've been driving a lot, listening to LA radio. And I did not know that 90% of LA radio is just Sublime. I had no idea. But I like it. I found that I have a favorite Sublime song. It's the song where the Sublime guy goes, I can play a guitar like a mother effing riot. And then just slowly plink plonks on an acoustic guitar. Just plink plonk, plink, plonk, plink, plonk. I was like, that is a riot. If your definition of a riot is just one lone seagull trying to get a sandwich out from inside a baby grand piano. Plink, plonk, plink, plonk, plink, plink, plonk, plonk, plonk.
That is Sublime's What I Got. Kurt Braunohler on Conan's late night TV show. So you've moved to L.A. Are you finding the music scene there to your liking?
It is. You know, it's so having been in New York for so long and just knowing people and being able to go to shows, you know, it is like it's a little like, oh, no, I don't know anybody. I don't know anything. So I have been like on Monday nights. It's kind of tough, too, because Monday nights is kind of there. Where all the places in Echo Park and Silver Lake have kind of residencies, and all the music's free, and everybody kind of goes from place to place. But that's when I have my show, so I don't really get to go see much music.
When you say my show, do you mean Hot Tub?
Yes, Hot mm-hmm. Tub.
So Kristen Schaal's out there now, too,
mm-hmm.
in L.A.
Yep.
Is the show different because it's on a different coast?
It's not really that different because, you know, it's in Silver Lake, and so that's essentially the Park Slope of Los Angeles,
right.
You know? And so it's kind of the same types of audiences.
Mm-hmm.
You know, New York, I think people are a little more, like I found this when I did my show with Ted Leo, is that they'll stick around for music at the end in
right.
New York more than they will in L.A. In L.A., a lot of people just get up and kind of, like, leave while the band's playing at the end, which always frustrates me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Kurt Braunohler, nonetheless, living out in L.A., the comedian, host of the podcast The K-Ole, and with Kristen Schaal, co-host of the variety show Hot Tub. Let's get back to your pick three, River City Extension. Where is this song from, this band?
This band, I had to put them on because they're from Asbury Park, local Asbury Park band.
Okay.
They're amazing. They do a show every Thanksgiving at the Stone Pony that I've never been to a rock and roll show that felt more like everybody was in a family together. And it's the best feeling I've ever had. I try and go back every year just to go to that show.
So this is the home team for
this
you.
This is the home team.
All right. The song's called Our New Intelligence from the band River City Extension.
Stolen Aphrodite, beautiful and mighty. Act like you could find me, tucked beneath the vine leaf. Try to keep my head down, try to keep my mouth shut. Of my loneliness. Never let you in, I'll never let you find me. But you're what you do have, put your past behind me. I am not afraid and will not buckle under ignorance. You can find a purpose while I fumble for deliverance. Happy but I wouldn't put it past a new intelligence.
Our New Intelligence, a song from the New Jersey band River City Extension, picked for us by Jersey boy Kurt Braunohler, the comedian and writer with us on Soundcheck today with his pick three. And boy, it sounds like somebody was listening to the Tijuana Brass at some point
yeah.
there with that band. I was asking you before whether L.A. had changed Hot Tub, the show you do with Kristen Schaal. Has L.A. changed your writing process, you know, the way you're... the things you're looking at to include in the routines?
You know, it is. It's almost, in a way, this might sound strange, but it's more American now. Because I really do feel like the things I don't like about Los Angeles are simply that it's not New York. And I do feel like New York is almost not America.
Yeah.
We don't drive in cars. We don't live in houses. But in Los Angeles, it's very much a suburban city. And it is kind of America. So I do things now that I think the majority of Americans do. I'm in traffic. I'm listening to the radio. I'm in a car. I'm seeing billboards. I'm watching TV. Whereas in New York, you lead this other, like I would write about like, you know, subway grates and like things I would see on the subway or, you know, stuff like that, which is like, it's not everyone's experience. And so I do feel I'm now having more of an American experience.
Yeah, but you know, that was always the amazing thing about the Seinfeld show.
Yes.
Was that
So specific.
So specifically
universal.
New York. You know, I did a show, a broadcast once with the ABC, the Australian Broadcast Corporation. Yeah. They sent one of their crews over, and they were all huge Seinfeld fans. I was like, really?
Oh, yeah.
Down under? It's like, the bit about the parking space and everything. They got all of it.
Yeah.
Somehow.
It is kind of amazing.
Yeah. All right, one more pick. Cloud Nothings. This is a band with a couple of records to their credit. Their last one was a favorite of yours, right?
Yes. Actually, last one and the one previously as well. This band is just, they do have, like I do, I'm a child of the 90s, and so I'm obsessed with that kind of like mid-90s sound, and they do have that kind of mid-90s kind of college rock sound. And their earlier records were much more higher end, more tinny and aggressive, and now the most recent album is like dark and it's heavy. It's much heavier than their stuff before, but also still in a very mid-90s vein, which I find fantastic. And I saw these guys at South by Southwest with my friend Chris, and it was one of the... It was an amazing show, just the whole place going crazy.
So do you do the festival circuits occasionally?
I play a lot of music festivals, yeah. I think I've played the majority of the big ones in the United States.
Good way to keep up with what the kids are doing.
I really like seeing music, and so it's kind of great. I get to do my set and then go and see music. It's the best.
All right, well, Kurt Brownoler has his own record out. It's called How Do I Land, and it is out now. You can also find his podcast, The K-Ole, on Nerdist.com, and he's picked three songs for us today in our occasional Pick 3 series on Soundcheck, and this is the third of them. It's called Been Through by the band Cloud Nothings. And, Kurt, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
The band's called Cloud Nothings. The song is called Been Through. Coming up next, we pose a question from one of our listeners to the editor-in-chief of Keyboard Magazine. Specifically, who are the virtuosic, groundbreaking keyboard players of today? And then later, a visit from Ty Siegel, originally from the Bay Area. Now he's based in L.A. as well. He's a garage rocker, but his band will play some songs with a different sound from his latest record called Sleeper. That's coming up later on Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Recently, we got a voicemail from one of our listeners, which posed an interesting question. Now, I should probably say, if you have an interesting question or comment or observation, you can always call us up and leave us a message. Our number is 866-939-1612. That's 866-939-1612. You can find that contact info on our website, too. But Jeffrey, as I say, called in and had this message.
Hi, my name is Jeffrey from Montclair, New Jersey. I'm a big fan of progressive rock from the 70s and haven't heard anything like it in years. Who are the Keith Emersons and Rick Wakemans of today? Thanks.
Now, in case you don't know who Keith Emerson and Rick Wakeman are, they were pretty much the gods of 1970s prog rock keyboards. Keith Emerson is part of the group Emerson, Lake & Palmer, and Rick Wakeman as part of the band Yes, and then with a successful solo keyboard career. In fact, just to give you an idea of what we're talking about, this is a little bit of one of Rick Wakeman's live performances on YouTube. Well, they don't make them like that anymore. Or do they? That seems to be the point of Jeffrey's question. Where are the Rick Wakemans and Keith Emersons of today? Well, joining us to try to answer that question is Stephen Fortner. He's editor-in-chief of Keyboard Magazine. He's on the line with us. Hi, Stephen.
Hi there.
So are there any keyboardists out there who are comparable to these really virtuosic musicians of three, four decades ago?
Yes, there certainly are. One of the most obvious and well-known names that would come to mind first would be Jordan Rudess of the band Dream Theater.
Uh-huh.
Dream Theater has got a absolutely rabid following among prog rock fans. And Jordan is not only an incredibly virtuosic player, an incredible knowledge of music theory, Juilliard trained, incredible speed, dexterity, precision, but he's also a very approachable guy and a just tireless music educator. He's always finding ways to work with school groups around the country to reach out to people about the joy of playing and teaching music, and I'd have to put Jordan at the top of that list.
Okay, he's done some solo records too, in addition to his
Correct.
Dream Theater stuff, and has been around for a while. Let's listen to a little bit of Jordan's band, Dream Theater, with a song called The Enemy Inside. That is the band Dream Theater featuring virtuoso keyboardist Jordan Rudess. The Enemy Inside comes from the band's upcoming self-titled album, which comes out at the end of September. So that's one possible answer to our listener Jeffrey's question about where the rock virtuoso keyboardists of the day are. Stephen Fortner's with me on the line, editor-in-chief of Keyboard Magazine. Is part of the problem, Stephen, that the place, the role of the keyboard has shifted since the days when Keith Emerson and Rick Wakeman bestrode the world's concert stages?
I think that a large part of what you're talking about happened in the 90s. Well, you know, the 70s, having been the golden age of prog rock, where someone who was shredding on a stack of synthesizers the way a lead guitar player might shred on a Les Paul or a Stratocaster, in the 80s that gave way to synth pop, and you had a sound created by bands like Duran Duran and Thomas Dolby and the Human League and Depeche Mode, you know, where it wasn't about playing a lot of notes really fast, but it was about using electronics as arranging tools and as orchestration. And, you know, through the 80s, everybody wanted a piece of that. Mm-hmm. And then in the 90s, we had this sort of unfortunate period where it kind of wasn't cool to like keyboards or to have anything too technological in your band. And, of course, I'm talking about 90s grunge.
Right. So you didn't see a whole lot of grunge keyboard players. Just if, for folks who are wondering, you know, when we mention people like Rick Wakeman, Keith Emerson, these guys are still around. They're still playing. We actually reached out to Rick Wakeman himself with this question. And this is the answer that he emailed to us. The focus these days is so much on the vocalist as that suits reality television and the media. Sadly, no labels will sign or promote instrumentalists these days. A sad state of affairs. You agree with that?
I think, you know, I don't keep exact tabs on who labels are accepting and rejecting. There are a lot of good labels out there signing instrumentalists. Perhaps they're more in the jazz vein. Other labels like Concord.
Yeah, yeah. And I think if we look in the jazz world, certainly there are like plenty of really great virtuoso keyboard players out there, but most of them are playing piano as opposed to electronic keyboards. Now, is that a distinction we should be making here?
Possibly. There are artists in the jazz vein who combine piano and electronic keyboards very successfully. Hiromi Uehara, who just goes by her first name, Hiromi, I think she brings a very prog rock element to the jazz paradigm.
Yeah. So when we talk about these virtuoso keyboard players, I guess we are sort of skewing towards the prog rock vein, although one of the names that you've come up with as a possible answer to this question is somebody best known for working with the Wallflowers.
Rami Jaffe.
Yeah.
And Ronnie's name came up in my mind because, you know, he's, you know, plays very mellow vintage keyboards like Rhodes electric piano and the Hammond B3 organ in the Wallflowers. He did four tours for the Foo Fighters.
Mm-hmm.
And they rock your face off. And Rami, Damon Fox from a band called Big Elf is another rock your face off keyboard player. And I also do not want to fail to mention Derek Sherinian, who I would sort of put in a very similar category to Jordan Rudess in terms of the multi-instrumentalism, you know, having stacks of cool stuff on stage, although
right.
I think Jordan just plays with one Korg Kronos these days, which mm-hmm. is a very popular modern synthesizer. But, you know, Derek Sherinian has had a longtime gig with Billy Idol, and he has his own project, Planet X, solo projects, the supergroup Black Country Communion, which features the blues guitarist Joe Bonamassa. Derek is just an incredible player, and his solo material is full of key changes, time signature changes, all the stuff anyone who's a fan of 70s prog rock is going to look for.
All right. Now, we also, in addition to asking Stephen about where the modern rock keyboard virtuosos are, we put this question out to our listeners. And here's a response that we got from Charles.
I think Robert Glasper is definitely an excellent keyboard player who's making a lot of progress today. Him, James Poiser, I think his name is. He's a longtime keyboard player for The Roots. Currently the band for Late Night with Jimmy Fallon, you might be familiar, and of course they're an excellent band by their own right. But those two guys really, in the world of hip-hop and R&B and neo-soul and things like that, really doing some great stuff.
All right, Charles, coming up with a couple of possible answers to our question. Who are the modern-day rock keyboard virtuosos? Robert Glasper, who works sort of between the worlds of jazz and R&B and hip-hop, and James Poiser of the band The Roots. Once again, joining me on the line is Stephen Fortner, the editor-in-chief of Keyboard Magazine. And Stephen, Charles raises an interesting question when he starts talking about, you know, the roots and hip-hop and stuff. What does playing the keyboard even mean today? It seems for a lot of people, it's not like an electric piano. It's a controller. It's a trigger for other sounds.
It is. And, you know, I think keyboard playing and virtuosity has an identity crisis that correlates directly with the identity crisis of the instrument itself, which is somewhat ironically owed to its versatility. Whether you want to be, you know, the next Robert Glasper or the next Trent Reznor or the next Billy Joel or the next Deadmau5, the black and white keyboard is the note entry device. It's the universal interface to the world of music production.
Mm.
So there are people who sort of do use it as a controller, as a note entry appliance.
So now you just mentioned Deadmau5, the noted DJ. Would you consider him a keyboard virtuoso of a sort?
Not necessarily a keyboard virtuoso in the Rick Wakeman sense, but having interviewed him a few years back, we had an amazing talk about synthesizers and music theory, and the guy knows his way around both. Whatever that blog he wrote about, we all just hit play. He does not just hit play. Yeah. He knows what he's doing.
Now, on your list, you mentioned James Blake. Why is he here?
Someone putting the keyboard front and center in a singer-songwriter kind of way and getting a lot of recognition for it.
Let's hear a little bit from James Blake in a song called Unluck.
Treated old care for me. Crossing's gone on one of the feet. Treated old care for me.
control or free. Only John, take care of what I like you. Playing, falling there. Treated all care for me. Crosses
from England, that is the singer and songwriter and keyboardist, James Blake, with his song Unluck. So, Stephen, are songs like this asking us to redefine virtuosity? I mean, we heard Rick Wakeman before, more notes per second than humanly possible.
Yes.
But this is a very different sort of virtuosity, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's using the technology to create a minimal landscape of sound, if you will, that serves the melody and serves the song.
Yeah.
And I think everyone needs to remember that there's room for that, and then there's room for lots and lots of notes per minute, and there's in both of those categories there's good music and bad music.
Well, we are trying to answer a question posed on our voicemail by our listener Jeffrey, a fan of prog rock in the 70s, wanting to know where the virtuoso rock keyboard players of the day are. And so far, Stephen, we haven't mentioned any women yet, but you do have Christine Young on your list. She's been on Soundcheck in the past. She's a very talented singer-songwriter. How is she as a keyboardist?
She's an amazing keyboard player. I've seen her live, and she is overly modest about her keyboard abilities. but I've seen her play mainly acoustic piano sounds, but on an electronic Roland keyboard live. And she has, I hesitate to mention other names because they will draw more wholesale comparisons. But, you know, she has piano chops that I think might draw some comparison to both Kate Bush and Amanda Palmer, although she sounds nothing like Amanda Palmer, who's also great.
Let's hear a little bit from Christine Young in a song called I'll Get You Back. That's just a little bit from singer-songwriter and keyboardist Christine Young. I'll Get You Back is the name of the song. She's on Stephen Fortner's list of modern rock virtuoso keyboardists. You can check out an expanded version of Stephen's list on our website, soundcheck.org. And Soundcheck listeners, who do you think are the great keyboard virtuosos of the day? Leave your choices as well on our website, soundcheck.org. Stephen Fortner is editor-in-chief at Keyboard Magazine. And Stephen, this has been fun. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, John. And I'd just like to tell your listeners that they can keep up on the best new keyboard talent by checking out our website at keyboardmag.com.
Thanks, Stephen. This is Soundcheck. One of the most popular things on soundcheck.org right now is this performance by the British band Arctic Monkeys. They joined us recently for a stripped-down acoustic set of songs from their new album, AM. Lots of people have been checking out the session, and you can stream it or podcast it on soundcheck.org.
1, 2, 3, 4. Have you got color in your cheeks? Do you ever get that fear that you can't shift the tide that sticks around like summits in your teeth? Are there some aces up your sleeve? Have you no idea that you're in deep? I dreamt about you nearly every night this week. How many secrets can you keep? 'Cause there's this tune I found that makes me think of you somehow, and I play it on repeat. until I fall asleep, spilling drinks on my settee. Do I wanna know if this feeling flows both ways? Sad to see you go. Was sorta hoping that you'd stay. Baby, we both know that the nights were mainly made for saying things that you can't say tomorrow day. Crawling back to you. Ever thought of calling when you've had a few? 'Cause I always do. Or maybe I'm too.
Song's called Do I Wanna Know. It's the Arctic Monkeys playing live in the Soundcheck studio. You can listen to that session and our interview on demand at soundcheck.org. Still to come, Ty Segall has carved out a busy career for himself as a solo artist and as a member of umpteen different collaborations. In a moment, he'll play songs with his band from his new album, Ty Segall, coming up on Soundcheck. I'm sorry to interrupt, it's just... This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. In the background, you're hearing a bit of Thank God for the Sinners, a song from the album Twins by the California-based garage rocker Ty Segall. Twins was just one of three records put out last year by Segall, who is justly earning a reputation as one of the most prolific indie artists around. At only 26, he's already released more than 12 albums under his own name, and many more if you start counting up all the side bands and other projects he's affiliated with. Today, Segall joins us with yet another new album. It's called Sleeper, and it sounds a lot different from what you were just hearing. Let's hear some music live. Ty Segall and the band with the title track from the album Sleeper.
I'm not afraid to
That is Ty Segall and his band live on Soundcheck with Sleeper, which is the title track from Ty's newest record. Ty Segall singing, playing guitar, Sean Paul Presley singing, playing guitar, Andrew Luttrell playing bass, Charles Muthart playing the drums. This might be the loudest, quote-unquote, acoustic band I have ever heard.
It's great. It's great news.
It's not just that, you know, that the album is acoustic guitar. It's also more kind of lyrically, it's more introspective. What was going on here? What caused this kind of shift of tone and of mood?
You know, it was really just headspace and what was happening in my life, you know? And it's just a kind of a moment, just a moment in time kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely not where my head's at now. It's definitely not where my head has been, but it was done very quickly, and it was just a kind of a moment in time kind of a thing.
Right.
Which is cool. You know?
Well, I understand there was a death in the family. It can be difficult to, you know, with songwriting, where people sort of hear something and they make a direct connection. For you, though, was there a direct connection?
With the songs and how I was feeling?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, every single song... Not every single song, but, you know, maybe 8 of the 10 are very, have to do with that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And either intentionally or non-intentionally, you know, but looking back on it now, it's all very connected.
Yeah.
You know?
So this was not a kind of conscious change of direction. I'm going to take my career in another path. This was, as you say, a moment that happened. And this is how your career seems to work. I mean, it's like one moment after another. That was the other thing about Sleeper, is that we haven't heard a record from you in almost a year, which by Ty Segall standards is a long time.
That's cool. I mean, you know, it was kind of, the idea was to take a breath and see what came out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what came out.
How do you maintain that sort of prolific songwriting, you know, over now a period of several years and many records?
I am a very anxious individual when I'm not doing something, and I don't have a day job. This is my day job, so I try to at least write a couple songs a week, and it makes me feel better. It makes me feel like I'm productive,
mm-hmm.
and you know I'm not. I just can't sit around, and while everyone's at work and not do anything, so.
So when you write a song, do you know when you're writing it, whether you're writing it for you or for one of your various other bands or side projects?
Usually when I write a song by myself, almost every time it's for my stuff. 'Cause every other thing is a collaborative effort, so we're always writing together,
mm-hmm.
or jamming or... you know, something like that.
Right, but you have released records both as Ty Segall and Ty Segall Band.
Yeah, that was everybody writing it together.
That's everybody together.
Yeah.
Okay. So in terms of some of the other groups that you're in, White Fence, Fuzz, you know, how do you do all that juggling?
Well, I'm not in White Fence, but playing with that record, when we did that record together, you know, again, it was just a moment... in time, you know, 2 weeks together writing and recording.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and in Fuzz, we just jam and Charlie writes all the riffs and then we work out finishing it together.
So, and in that band, you and Charlie switch places. You're the drummer, he's the guitarist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Shredding guitar player.
And in terms of White Fence, I mean, if you write and record with a band, that doesn't make you part of the band as far as you're concerned.
No, I mean, White Fence is basically in a recording, in the recording setting, it's Tim Presley's solo band. And in a live setting, it's the White Fence band.
Mm-hmm.
And that record was basically just Tim and I, but he goes under the moniker White Fence. So
okay.
It was kind of... just two people, you know.
Well, this album is credited to you, to mm-hmm. Ty Segall. It's called Sleeper. It's out now. What's this song Sweet Cece about?
That's about my mom.
Hmm. So is this one of the songs that you wrote in that period after this death in the family?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of more funny to me now.
Really?
Instead of, well, this song.
Okay.
Because it's kind of ridiculous that it's a rock and roll song, you know?
Well, let's see how it sounds in a live setting. You can rejoin the band. Ty Siegel with us on Soundcheck. The album, again, is called Sleeper, and this song is called Sweet CeCe. Another live performance here in the Soundcheck studio. Once again, Ty Siegel live on Soundcheck with Sweet CeCe, the name of the song, from the new album called Sleeper. And since I've mentioned several times already that you're a very prolific guy, there is another album in the works already, right?
Is that
the next Fuzz record is about to happen?
Fuzz is done. It's ready to come out October 1st. So we'll be rolling back through New York with Fuzz.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll see you and Charlie then. In the meantime, we're going to go out with one of the songs from that band. This is a piece called Loose Sutures.
Cool.
And Ty, it's been a pleasure having you and the quartet.
Thank you so
unplugged
much.
Unplugged and acoustic, so to speak, here in the Soundcheck studio. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much.
This is Soundcheck. song called Loose Sutures from the band Fuzz, featuring two of today's in-studio guests, Ty Siegel and Charles Muthart. Join us on Monday on Soundcheck. We'll dive into a new biography of the Bee Gees. Author David Meyer will tell us about the pivotal moment when Barry Gibb started using that famous falsetto. And Tony Award-winning actress Audra McDonald joins us to perform songs from her first solo album in 7 years. Soundcheck is a production of WNYC. Irene Trudell leads our engineering team with Paul Schneider, Bill O'Neill, Jason Isaac, and Rick Kwan. The show is produced by Katie Bishop, Greta Cohn, and Mike Katziff, with Alex Kappelman, Amy Pearl, and our intern, Alex Martinez. Our executive producer is Joel Meyer. I'm John Schaefer. See you back here on Monday for the next Soundcheck.